This is Pastor Jeff Chavis. I'm the pastor of Church Online, an online community of faith that you could find at churchonline.com, but we spell that uniquely. We spell it CHRCH online because we say all that's missing is you. Churchonline.com. This morning I want to talk about distractions. And I've got to be honest, this all came about because of a number of distractions in my morning. It's true. We all have them. We have those morning distractions. We have those things that happen. We have the good intentions of maybe, you know, we're going to read our Bibles. We're going to pray. You know, with me, I like to read the news, things like that. But then I got a text. And then I got another text. And there was an individual that needed some support. And I had to find another chaplain in his area who could help him. And it just became this big thing. And then I'm getting other emails coming in and other things that are happening. And I'm sure your day goes similar. We have a certain direction that we're going, but then the distractions come in. And honestly, I do think that in our world today, there's so many distractions. I feel like a lot of that is the enemy, because sometimes those distractions can become addictive. Sometimes those distractions can be more than just a simple distraction along the way. It can be a constant thing that pulls us away from God. But we just got done, we had an online Bible study, and we called it Shift, because that's the way it looks. We're going one direction in our life, and then God shifts us into another direction. And one of the things that we learned about in this Bible study is that there are sometimes holy distractions. There are sometimes where it is God. And I truly believe this morning what was going on, that was definitely a holy distraction. And I just believe there's going to be an outcome that'll be just something that only God could orchestrate. But for now, we're just looking at it as just something that happens. And then our tendency is to get annoyed with it. But we have to know this same thing happened to our Lord and Savior. Jesus had distractions as well. I'm going to read you a story of one particular distraction, but I want you to notice how Jesus reacts. Jesus never gets irritated like we do, even when it's something that's a holy distraction. He's never going to get irritated by that, but we do, don't we? Something that may, you know, at first it seems like, oh, I don't know, maybe it's a child, a grandchild, and that distraction comes in our well-organized day. But the reality is sometimes those turn out to be holy distractions. Maybe that child decides they want to ask you a question about the Lord, the Bible, and it turns into a great discussion. That's a holy distraction. Or like what we find in the life of Jesus. And by the way, I'm going to read to you from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And you've probably heard this before, the story, because it's in Mark also and in Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 5, they give it a little bit more verbiage. There's more to the story, and we know more about the story because of what Mark and Luke write. Matthew's gospel is pretty short, but the story goes that Jesus is going about his day, and the first distraction is the crowds begin to press in. He's trying to head from one place to another. Crowds who have heard him teach and seen him heal people, that becomes part of the distraction. But then the crowd suddenly separates, and there's this man who is named Jairus. He comes to him and said his daughter is dying. Now, obviously, in the life of Jesus, this is a holy distraction. This is a holy moment. And of course, he's going to head straight there. But what follows is yet another distraction. And it would have been really easy for Jesus to get annoyed. No, I'm headed this way. I'm going to Jairus's house. Everybody else just needs to step back. You know, that's the tendency we have in our distractions. But not Jesus. Listen to the distraction. It says, and I'm in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, starting verse 20. Suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." So this is a slight distraction, somebody just touching the hem of his garment. But we know from the other gospel writers that he could sense that power had gone out from him. "Who touched me?" he said. And he's looking around the crowd. Peter comes in and says, "Everybody's around you. Lots of people are touching you." This distraction didn't pull him away from what was going on. And it definitely didn't pull him away from the one who was doing the distraction, this woman. Again, listen to how Matthew frames it. This is verse 22. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Now pause and think about the words that Jesus says. Be of good cheer, take heart, be encouraged. But he uses a word that is really significant that we may just pass right over. It says, daughter. Now, again, we wouldn't think much of that. Obviously, we're not talking about Jesus' daughter. But you have a woman here with some sort of issue of blood for 12 years. You have to know that she no longer considers herself a daughter to her family, nor does she consider herself a daughter in the synagogue, a daughter of Israel any longer. Because when you have blood that doesn't stop, there's a couple of things that happen in their culture. You become unclean. You can't go into the synagogue. You can't be involved in the temple worship. You can't even be involved with your family on the Passover and the Sabbath feast and all the things that they do. In fact, she would have had to be removed from her own home. And in these kind of cultures, and we even see this today in third world kind of countries, you begin to see a person who cannot be healed. Luke says that she gave all the money she had and the doctors couldn't do anything. Well, in those kind of societies and cultures, you start to be looked at as someone who has done something wrong, angered the gods, if you're in a pagan culture, or have sinned against God, and you must be made whole again, but nothing seems to be working. So you might say that they are cursed. So you can no longer go into your own home. You can no longer participate in the religious activities of your people. So for Jesus to call her a daughter, that just would have gone right to her heart. I'm sure of that. Just to hear those words again. And then the other part, your faith has made you well. What faith did she have? It says she had believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment. So much depth in that picture. But again, we're looking at it as this holy distraction in the life of Jesus. He didn't pause and get mad. In fact, he had compassion. And that, in so many ways, is how we need to start viewing the distractions in our life, the holy distractions. I'm not talking about those little distractions, the ping of our voicemail or text, or I mean, those could be holy distractions, but sometimes we get, we're driving and there's a car accident and we have to get distracted from our journey that we're on. But I think we all recognize the moments when it becomes a holy distraction, when this thing, this call, this text, this email is somebody crying out for our help, maybe even turning them to Jesus. So we need to have that compassion like Jesus. Yes, I know it's easy to stop and say, "I don't have time for this right now. Here, let me call somebody else who can help you." That's not the way Jesus responded. Jesus always responded with love and with compassion. So today, I want to encourage you. Look for the holy moment in the distraction. Don't look for the annoyance in the distraction. Maybe this is God's way of changing a little direction in your life. So just something to think about. And those other things that you know have become a problem distraction, maybe those are the things that it's time for us to remove from our lives. And the best way that we do that is by asking him.